Hello, Josh.
I'm here now. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, good, good.
Good. Where have you been davening lately?
Which minyan are you asking about?
On
Shabbos?
Shabbos,
I'm
yeah.
Shabbos. I had the last couple of weeks. I was at the main minyan in Beth Abraham, 8:45, and this week I'm going to be laning at the 9:15.
Inside 9:15.
Yeah, inside. I don't like davening outside.
I hear you.
Even if it's nice weather like this Shabbos,
Yeah.
it's too many distractions.
I hear you.
It's too much noise,
I hear you.
and the weather is too dicey.
I hear that. I've been dominating outside by my neighbor, and we're starting to get to the point where it's not guaranteed that we have minyanim anymore.
Wow. I remember when there's a Beth Abraham minyan near my house. Schmidt runs it. It's I
Yeah,
forgot the name.
I've been there.
Yeah.
The lane.
Right. So they drafted me to lane 1 week. So I went.
Yeah.
It wasn't the
Yeah.
hottest Shabbos of the summer.
Right. And you're still uncomfortable.
It was brutal.
Here.
I'll tell you, I've been looking over the Daza Canims here. He can make a whole shear from the first five or six Daza Canims on this
So
week's parsha.
I listened to the rabbi of the Bialystok Gershom on the Lower East Side. His name is Tzvi Ram.
Huh?
And what he's done over the past, it's more than 10 years now, is he takes a mefarish every year and he goes to. So it used to be a once a week shear. And now in COVID, he's doing every night. So by the time Thursday comes around, there are four shiurim. So he's doing Sforno this year. So you wouldn't think that there's, Sforno is pretty short. You wouldn't think that there's an hour and 30 minutes worth of material is Sforno. But every week it's amazing. And this week is, the Sforno is amazing this week. He takes a whole different look at the Bnei Slot. And obviously he, and Rabbi Ram, he quoted that the story in the introduction to Chelek Ches of Moshe. Yeah, and the Sforno is leans in that camp that the Bnei Slot were really righteous and they had good motives. And he learns it out from the Psukim, and it's actually an interesting take on the Psukim. So. But yeah, I'm up three times for Shabbos for laning, so
Oh boy.
no rest for the weary.
Well, you get up early, huh?
No, it's actually not so early anyway. I know it's the minyanim that I'm laning at start at 7:45, 8:40, and 9:15, so not too bad this week.
Wow.
I haven't been able to go. I haven't been able to go to Vasikin all that much because of other
So you're the guy
commitments.
that Ed got to do everything. He said to me, "You can land as many times as you want." I said,
Since we started back in Nassau, so I lay Nassau. I didn't lay Shlach Korach and Chukas. Then from Chukas Balak to Kisavo, I did every parsha more than once. I took off Kisavo because I needed to prepare Yomim Noraim davening. From there through Noach, again, I did everything, including Simchas Torah, including all of Sukkos, Yom Noroim, I let other people do, but I did some of it. And then, so let Noach I took off, but then back to Lech Lecho, how many times did I lean last week? Three, and then again this week, three. So it's...
Wow.
It's interesting, because I didn't realize how much time it takes, because Noach, when I wasn't leaning, I really listened to a lot of Shirim on the Parsha that week. Uh-huh. And now when I'm preparing the laning, that takes away time from listening to Shir and from...
Yeah, it takes time. It
takes time.
Have you laned these partials before or not?
So I have most of them, but for me, it's not like... This week isn't so bad, because from the middle of Revi through the end, you just have to not shift into Yom Noroim Trup and you're good.
Right, right.
That's not so bad, right. But like Lech Lecha, most of it was brand new.
Well, this is also my son's bar mitzvah parshas, which I taught him, so it's that's an added benefit.
Hi, Rabbi.
Good evening, Rabbi Neuberger.
Good evening, good evening. Good, so let's start with the... We made them a few years ago, the very beginning of the Akedah, Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Aleph. We'll start with the Rashbam. The question is, Vayichi Achara Dvarim Ha'ela. So what's Achara Dvarim Ha'ela? What is this referring to? So the Rashbam says, Kol Mokoyim Shenemar Achara Dvarim Ha'ela Mechubar LaParshal Amala. It has to be a continuation. Achara Dvarim Ha'ela, and then he brings many examples. Shahara Gavram Melim Lachim, Omele Kedosh Baruch Hu, Altir Avram, don't be afraid. Menu Umois, because he had reason to be afraid, because he just killed out the ruling empire. Vayachara Dvarim Ha'ela, Shenolad Yitzchak. Vayaga the Avram Leimor, and then it was after Yitzchak was born that he was told the Basul Yolad is Rivka. So that's an important piece of information, because the two are connected. So once again, is important, because the rise of Mordechai had to do with the being able to report Bigson Viserish. Afkan. As opposed to his grandfather Rashi, who says Achara Dvarma Ela means after these conversations that we don't have recorded, the conversations of the Satan that wanted to show that Yishmael was taunting Yitzchak, and the suit and the cut and the Satan was Mekatreg, that Avraham Avinu only brought us some few korbanos. So Rashi said Achara Dvarim Ha'ela only makes sense to say, doesn't, what does it have to do with the previous parasha? Previous parasha, it has to do with Avraham Avinu making a deal with Ahimelech. So that's what Rashi was stuck. So Rashi said, we have to go to the Medrash that says, L'kim nis, Achara Dvarim Ha'ela, there were conversations that are not recorded in Torah Shemachsam. Says the Rashbam, the Afbakan Achara Dvarim Shekoras Avram Ritz Avimelech. What was the last thing which happened? Avram made a deal with Avimelech. Ulaninoi Ulanechte Shel Avram. Venosin Loi Sheva Kibsois Atsoin. And he also committed his grandchildren to keep the deal with Avimelech. Vachora Apoi Shelokadish Baruch Hu Alzov. And Baruch Hu was angry with him. Sherei Eretz Pelishtim Bechal Gvul Yisrael. Because the Pelishtim, where he was, that's within our borders. Said he was going south. It's within our boundaries. And I'm apparently saying, it's interesting that, I don't know if it means the Rashbam accepts the idea, accepts the Gemara, that the always knew Kol Terekulam, or whether he's just saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu was upset because they were included in the group that was supposed to be thrown out. The Gambi Yeshua, gonna say right. The Gambi Yeshua Matilin al Orechamesha Sani Plishtim Goyrol. And even Yeshua later on is going to impose himself upon the heads of the Plishtim. So that is, and apparently he's not going to throw them out because of this shvu. We know that David HaMelech had to restrain himself in taking over Yerushalayim because the descendants of Amimelech settled in Yerushalayim. The Navi says that they had these placards, that a placard of a lame person and a blind person. So the way Chazal understand that is that one placard, the lame person was Yaakov Avinu, because he hopped away from the Malach, and the blind was Yitzchak. So they put their their safety was in a pet of putting up signs. You have to wear a mask. They're putting the signs that you have to social distance. Their signs were, don't even come close to us. We have a bris with the lame and the blind. So you see that.
In Hesirchas, or even Miapistan.
I'm sorry, say it again?
The pasuk over there.
Yeah.
The pasuk over there. Ki im hesirchas, or even miapistan.
Right. So Chazal, so that was a reference to this, even though the generations, I don't see how it works out exactly. David and Melech was, how they were still bound. But David and Melech felt he was the last one that was bound by this Shvua. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. Velikim nisos avam kinteroi v'tziaroi. So the Rashbam says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Avram for making a deal with the Plishtim. The Zionists quote this Rashbam. Mm-hmm. And the Akedas Yitzchak was an Isayan, but it was an Isayan that was a Yisurin. There was an Onash. Kedasiv Hanisa Davar Elecha Tile Al Nasesamis Hashem Masam Riva V'Chaneni Hashem Vinaseni Kelaymar Nisgo Isa Bambein Shenesaticha Lechros Bris Beinechem Uvei Mineyem. So the word anisa can mean that you tried to, you overreached. Anasasemes Hashem, you tried to even test the Baruch Hu. The Bechaneni Hashem ben Nesenia, because Baruch Hu, I can manage. So the idea of nisayon can be that there's an overreach, and this goisa baben. So it means Kadosh Baruch Hu said that you. Almost hubris with the son that I gave you to make a bris. I gave you a child, and now ready, you're already making plans for a few generations. You're expressing bilus on your children's land. So he's saying, but kim nisas Avram means that the way the Rashbam sees it, because Baruch Hu was upset with Avram Avinu. Kim nisas Avram means that he sort of pushed Avram further than he can go, right? That it was that Avram was a censure of Avram. Means that we rebelled against Hashem. We tested God, means we were upset with him. Al Maso Meriva. Maso Meriva means that it's the situation where we created aggravation and a so the kim nisas Avram can mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu aggravated Avram Avinu. On the sosemes Hashem, you aggravated Hashem. And nisod davar eilecho tileh, something which gives you aggravation, so you're not going to pine for it. So here also in this isa baben, I gave you a son, and now you took liberties with your son's destiny, and you made a brith that would not only be for you, but for the children afterward. So therefore he says, Avram says, let's see what's going to be with the brith. You said making a brith, you're making long plans, you're making a brith for next few generations. Who said there's going to be future generations? V'chein matzasi acher kach ba'midrash shel Shmuel. And, or it could be, who knows, it'll be that Yitzchak will be the one. V'hi arona Hashem b'stei plishtim. Shiva hadashim. So this is after the fall of Shiloh, after Eliah died, in the battle that they took, the battle against the plishtim. So the second battle, I think they took the Aron with them because they weren't successful in the first battle. But when they took the Aron, that was presumably connected what they were supposed to be done. So they took the, and then they lost the battle terribly. They were decimated, and they lost Eli's children. And the Aron was taken and was kept in the field of the Philistines for 7 months. And then Ksiv, as Shava Kvasis Tikach Miyadi, Omalei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now we made a deal with the Plishtim, Avram made a deal with the Plishtim, and the deal was done through seven lambs. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said that apparently the Medrash writes in Shmuel that it was that the Aron was taken for 7 months, connected the seven lambs. Omalei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atah Nasata Lo Sheva Kvasois. That there were seven Pilishtim battles. Dover Acher, Chayecho Shebonav Horgim Sheva Tzedikim Ibanecha, Shimshon, Chafniu Pinchas, Shoel, Ushlei Shebonav.
Are you reading all that from the Rashba?
Yeah, back in Pasuk Lamed of the previous parak.
Where is this? We redid it?
Oh.
Wait, you're back.
Yeah,
in the old Rashbam goes back to the previous parak.
Yeah,
interesting.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Josh.
Found a new Girsa or something. The article. I think they left at other Rashbams. They're doing tshuva for leaving other Rashbams.
Yeah.
So they.
That wasn't the Plishtim. The Beit HaMikdash wasn't destroyed by the Plishtim.
No, neither was no. But that was the all of these are outcomes of making a seven keves deal.
Yeah, I guess it's lav davka that the Bnei Plishtim are going to destroy these seven. It's just that Avram's children are going to have seven that are going to be destroyed.
Yeah, but it says banav machriven.
Why? That means we lost that mokim tefillah. It's like Nahav is like the centerpiece of the Mishkan Shila.
Rabbi Perel's point is, it sounds like from the Rashbam that the Bnei Plishtim are going to destroy these seven Mekomos, but that's not factually correct. Who's Bonav?
I thought it was Bnei Avram.
Bnei Avram? No, but earlier it's Bonavosim Sheva Milchamosim Bonecha.
Yeah.
Bonav is
Pishtim, Zabimelech. Right. That's what the Racher Chayecha Shebonav Horgim Sheva Tzadikim Ibanecha. Shimshon was a Pishtim. Chafni Pinchas Shaul. Yeah. Okay. The Racher Chayecha Shebonav Machim Sheva Mishkanois. So Oil Moyer God, Gilgal Vandai God, Shiloh. Yeah, but another battle. Givon and Beis Elamim train. And Dover Acher is that the Oren ends up being there. So it's interesting that so again, the Rashbam says the Pshat is Achara Dvar Ma'ela. So Achara Dvar Ma'ela means, because Rachel is upset, and then the last proof text he brings is from the Medrash. That the Medrash said that there are numerous ramifications, numerous punishments. But the I don't think the Rashbam could say it's not a Nisoyan, but I think he could say that this particular Nisoyan was chosen because it was a form of Yisurin, Mida Keneged Mida, that Avraham Avinu tried to secure the safety of the grandchildren. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you have? Making the decision of the grandchildren. In other words, he wanted greater certainty, greater stability. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if I ask for their lives, I can undermine the entire deal. I'll give you another child afterward. But there was no deal with this child. So David's saying, how can Avraham be criticized for making a deal with the Plishtim? Why is that different than any Ishtalos that we do? Right? So I think one of the Rashbam might be focusing on, if he would have made a deal for himself, his generation. Okay, Mela, that's Ishtalos. But now to make a deal that's going to be the Doros, that might be what he's criticizing him for. Because he only criticizes that it's for the kids.
Apparently, according to Rashbam, his giving the Sheva Kvasos is a big deal.
Yeah. What's the other?
It sounds like the bris alone was not the thing that got HaKadosh Baruch Hu that upset. It was the Sheva Kvasos, apparently, that had all these ramifications of sevens.
I think that's because that's the Kriya's bris. Without that, so there would have been a deal that could be renegotiated.
But it strikes me as strange, because if you read the Pesukim carefully, the Sheva Kvasos is just Bavur Tiali Le'edo, Ki Chafardi Zaber Azos. That wasn't the Sheva Kvasos wasn't a peace treaty, it was just an aid that Avram had dug the wells, because Abimelech's servants had stopped them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave him Tzomu Bakar for the bris.
Right, earlier, but that's not the Sheva Kvasos.
Right.
Well, the Sheva Kvasos were Eleva Mohena Sheva Kvasos Ela Shuhitzam Pilevadena. We're Tzili Eda. Okay, Chofayt Zeberzos.
Right, Pasuk of Zion talks about Tzomu Bakar Vayichesu Shnei and Bris. The bris was done over Tzomu Bakar. The Sheva Kvasos is something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
What strikes me over here is that it sounds like Avraham is the petitioner. He's giving the Tzonu Bakar, not Abimelech.
Right.
Almost as if he
needs. But, and the reason why Avraham is doing that is so that everybody knows that these wells that he's digging are his wells, so that there could be no fight about them. Or singular well.
So why is he being criticized?
Right. If you want to criticize Avraham, it has to be on Pasuk Chav Zayin, not on Pasuk Lamed.
Yeah.
Or Chav Tes. Or Chav Tes. I don't see too many of them of fortune discussing anything on Pasuk Chav Zayin.
That's the Sheva Kvasos.
It strikes me as odd in this whole story is Abimelech comes to Avram to make a bris, and Avram is the one who's giving him the Tzonu Bakar.
Right.
You would think that the one who is petitioning for the bris should be the one who makes a concession, not the other side. Huh. I'm wondering if that's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unhappiness with this.
What do you mean?
You know, Avram is diminishing himself by giving the tzon of Bakar.
Right, right.
Avimelech comes to him. Avimelech wants the bris. So there's a, like in negotiations today, if you want something right. from me, make it worth my while.
Right.
That Avram is showing that, no, this is just as important to him to have a bris with Avimelech. So he's giving him, maybe even more so, I'm going to give you the gifts. So maybe that's the attitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy with. Why are you demeaning yourself in Eretz Canaan, which eventually is going to be Eretz Yisrael?
It's not demeaning himself. It's sort of overreaching. But why is he? It's a lack of.
Maybe I'm looking at it too transactionally. In other words, if Avimelech wants the bris, Avimelech right. comes. He wants right. the bris. So he should make the concession to Avram, not the other way around.
Yeah. Right, but I think the Rashbam's major point is the concession is over Eretz Yisrael. As if Avram would have bought the years of peace, but not giving up Eretz Yisrael, so maybe we'd have gone for it. Because Baruch Hu Tziv Aleihem, no, the truth is what you're saying is correct. The way the Rashbam says it, it was wrong for making a deal with the Plishtim. Lo yisachaya kol neshama. And this is Kinti Ravid Tziyara. Now, let's look at the Sepharna. Sepharna Pasuk Aleph. Nisos Avram. Kevon Shiyya Befayel Oye V'yore K'meshahoye V'koyach U'bezei Yidmo Yoyse L'boroi Shutayim Lo'ilom Befayel. This is a embellishment of the Ramban's approach. Ramban's approach of Nisa is like Tzimi K'yach L'poyel. We all have latent energies, but because Baruch Hu wants to bring them to the fore. Right? Ramban says that way a person can become a greater tzaddik, becomes more self-aware, he's able to teach other people. So it's Likim Nisa means that Baruch Hu wanted to show Avram what his strength was, how far he could take his strength. So the Sephora builds on that. That all of his Yirush Shemaim and Abba Shemaim should come out and be real. And then he says, he'll be more like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like Zeh Kelevi Anveyo, than a Nivahu, to have the Midas Mahu Rachum Avatotei Rachum. Yosef, Ki Omna HaKavona Bimtzios HaAdam Ha'isa Sheyidme Limborei. And he says, and that was the plan. The plan was that human beings should be able to accomplish when it says, what the Pasuk says, that what's the Pasuk? Because Baruch Hu nasa Adam b'tzalmeinu tzemelakim, he can have the halachna midrachav. To all of those point that he says, "Nasa Adam bit Salmeinu kib Maseinu," because Baruch Hu made us in his way. So some of us say means bechira chofshis, but the Sfarna is saying that the idea, all of the good that would come out, the good of Kabbalas Morus, the good of following Kadosh Baruch Hu, the good of what else good comes out? I guess the Zemuna. So all of that is now bekoyach. Now he's more self-aware of it. Now he can build upon it. Now let's look at the Arachayim. V'yachar ha'dvar me'ele, pirush, ha'dvar ma'mur me'lamalu et minyan. All the things like the like the Rashbam said, things that had happened before. Shekama harpatke she'omru olav an shenifkad beben li'esig nasek. That how hard it was for him, and how many tzoros he had till he had a child altogether in his old years. V'gam ifticha Hashem ki b'Yitzchak yikaru l'chazara v'yachar she'oye Yitzchak gadol ki'omroi v'yogar v'om be'eretz plishtim yamim rabim u'b'shana rishana she'yar l'plishtim noylad Yitzchak ha'lamadu ki gadol hoya u'b'mtsos ha'koydim y'gadol ha'nisoyen mufla v'ein b'v'chinas Avram the acher kama harpadke shekod muloi ad shenifkad, the acher kach avtocha is me Hashem ki b'yitzik yikor v'lechazari, who oi meshiach rivei uvlahir v'livoi. This is after all of these nisyonos that Avram Avinu had, and after he had the loneliness of an empty house, and then he had Yitzchak. After all of this, Hashem says, you have to roll the clock back, and now to give up one's children. V'yachar kama avtochis me Hashem, ki b'yitzikor l'chazari, hu oimer, so the president said, hu oimer, sorry, shek riveyu, v'layhir b'livoi. Ki b'yitzik, he said that, he didn't have any questions. Bein b'vchinas Yitzchak, shagam hoya godol, kan nishma miposuk asomuch, v'yogor, so, the same thing, Yitzchak also didn't have any Urim. Gam niskavin limar, achar advorim shebeze yutztak loimar, es binchaz yechidcha. So, achar advorim ha'ela means after he's also accomplished already. That's number one. Number two is achar advorim, which dvorim, es bincha, es yechidcha, asher avta, all of these descriptions. V'likim nisa, amalikim b'teisev ezvav, Leimar milvada nisyanu shekodmu, aizun asoyse bigmuras hadin nisayin otzim. This was a nisayin begeder din. So achara dvar me'ele, according to Achayim, is going forward. After it's both ways. After everything he accomplished, and he did, wasn't maharer. And after the upcoming description, Bincha, Yechidcha, Asher Avta, that all contributed to the Nisayon. So we have three pshatim. One is Achar Dvar Me'ela, that it was a tsar for making the deal. Mida Keneged Mida. One was trying to ensure the future generations. And Hashem said it's impossible to do that. Then the Ramban Sfarna's approach, that this is Mikoyach HaLapoyel, but Sfarna goes one step further. Mikoyach HaLapoyel, the Tzelem HaLakim. This was going to be Moshe, the Tzelem HaLakim HaLapoyel. That he was Meshavim himself in that way to the Borei Olam. And the Archaim said that the Achar hadvarim ha'ela, and having another nisayin gives a great, is it every extra nisayin is more of a nisayin, because he could have, at one point he could say, why so much? Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you? He could be Mahara Beliva, and every Nisayan compromised when he comes to the previous Nisayan. So he could have been, he wasn't Mahara. Okay. The Chaim says that the next line also is part of the Nisayan. We'll finish with this. Kachna. He doesn't tell him when or where. So if you're not told when or where, you can hold off. But he nevertheless responded right away. Or he said, the old Ramas that Avram tried to convince Sarah to come for the ride. The ride we did this last thing a few years ago. Sheikach Sarah Bidvarim. This Ratzes a love Lelicha Imai. Vechein Omru, the entire night, Avram was trying to get Sarah to agree. Shelichenu Lalam de Torah at Orboiker. So it sounds like the Rechaim said he was trying to do a workaround, Sarah. He's trying to convince Sarah she go to yeshiva. So I guess in the morning when he wasn't there, she figured he went to yeshiva.
Okay. It almost sounds like she's that he's I hate to say it, misleading Sarah.
Yeah, he's trying to say, well, at first he wants you to come mamish with him, it sounds like.
You don't have to interpret it that way.
It could be.
He wanted to get Sarah's permission that he should take Yitzchak with him.
Yeah, because it was away from her. Yeah. Yeah. But then the phrase, Shikach es Sar Midvarim.
But what about the untruth?
Yeah. So it depends how you read the
Archaim. He's going to teach him Torah.
Yeah. If the Archaim is saying that he tried to prevail upon Sarah to come with him at first, if that's what it means, so then it means that he felt that Sarah would not be able to figure things out unless she was part of the Nisayan. Unless she was part of the... If that's what it means.
I don't see it that way. That's not...
You see it as
doesn't mean to physically take her. Kochenu bidvarim means to convince her.
To convince her, yeah. To convince her.
Hisratzos a love laholi choimo.
No, to ask to have her agree.
That she should agree that he can take Yitzchak away.
Imo. To come, yeah. Right.
But what about the untruth?
He's going to trick her. He said, we're going to learn Torah. Right. Yeah. that sounds like, yeah. Roma's, Oid Roma's like, Kachna. They're trying to get Sarah on board somehow. Well, when he would come back without Yitzchak, so he bought himself a year. Who said it was only for Shana Rishonim? Maybe it was he went going for Shana Bet and Shana Gimel. So she maybe never shall find out. She'll never find out.
I thought he was trying to convince her that night.
Did that one? Give it 2 years, right? It was the Pesach of the Shana Aleph. Trying to convince the parents to let you stay in the year. That's what it could be, that he wanted her never to know. Every year that he buys. And then this is the third.
Now that gives a new insight, Rabbi, into the famous medrash about the Satan coming to Sarah and saying, you know what really happened?
Yeah.
Just occurred to me, you know why she died? From the shock that Avram misled her.
Misled her.
She couldn't believe that he lied to her.
Yeah. Was that? Kachna's Bincha, please take you.
I'm sure they were talking in Torah on the way, right? I mean,
That's the next piece. Next piece is Yirmaz al Yitzchak, Shikacheu b'divrei Ritzui. Okay, it's all, I was kind of involved, But let's see, Kachas Bincha. It's right, exactly. Yeah. Right, the last one, Kachas Bincha, that means how do you take him? So, in this case, how do you take it? He he was explaining to him the idea of an Isoya. Hishgecheu b'divrei tam, tell me ideas in it. But the first is Ve'kachna is bincha, shikach esarah, she convinced Sarah. Okay, right.
Couple of interesting issues.
What was that?
A couple of interesting issues. One with the Rashbam and one with the Or HaChaim here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good Erev Shabbos.
A good Erev Shabbos. A good Erev Shabbos.
A good Erev Shabbos.
Should I just stay on over here?
Should I stay over here or should I leave?
What was that?
I'll get off.
Do you want me to stay over here or you want to come? Okay.
There is. Okay.
And my earpiece here. I said, I do that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu. The Shalom Aleichem. What brings you here? Yeah. It's over here, and it's held in just by tape. Okay, no problem. You came especially here for the Dika? No. Yeah. Okay. Just getting my earpiece together.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna.
Let me get the Mazel Tov.
Marty had a baby.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
This is for the last job.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. I really, really appreciate it. I'm sort of talking just to let things out without really. I know this is a very just difficult situation, and I don't know that I'm Dafka asking for the answer, you know, in this situation. Just to say what's on my heart, you know, and whatever it leads to. I mean, it's the same thing that we've talked about in the past, you know, with basically deciding our lives and trying to figure out where we are. So Moshe is in Kohelet, you know, over here. Last year we were going to make Aliyah. We were going to do it. But with COVID, we couldn't get into the country. It wasn't Shayach, so we couldn't do it. So this is now our third year here, and Moshe has been in Kohelet now for 3 years. What was that?
How old is Moshe?
So he's turning 11 at the end of December. I feel like a little bit like, you know, Shomer Psayim Hashem, you know, this, you know, the decision that we made, we really were in a pickle. We really put ourselves in a pickle. If Moshe were the type of kid who was just, you know, easygoing, free flowing, compliant, you know, to okay, shine. So then fine, we pick up, we go to Eretz Yisrael. There was no, we'd be fine with it. But that's just, it's just not who he is. He's really complicated. I mean, he's amazing. You know, he's really complicated. He definitely has a, he's got certain, you know, anxieties that he has, you know, that come out in, you know, and sometimes in defiant ways. He's got a lot of passion. So it's either like beautiful and amazing, and it's like really, really hard, you know, at the same time. School is not easy for him. He's open about it. You know, he's like ADHD. You know, he's got ADHD. We've actually tried certain ADHD medications, which just didn't work for him. We're thinking about maybe something else, you know, coming up. He's the kid in class who's the harder kid, right? You know, and when he's not there, the teacher gives like a sigh of relief, like, oh, he's not here today. You know, it just is, you know, he can do great work. He really can. If he's got the right teacher, like he can be fantastic. But he's hard. He just is hard, you know, thinking about going to Eretz Yisrael, you know, for a kid who's got a tough time in school, you know, in the first place, his Hebrew is not, you know, I mean, he wants to learn Hebrew. It's just, he really wants to learn Hebrew. The problem is that, you know, right now, like in Kohelet, I think one of the issues is, which is, I guess, you know, it's an obvious point. It's just that he thinks, you know, we're it's weird, right? He feels different than everybody else, right? I mean, he dresses like everyone in Kohelet. He wears the Kohelet kippah, you know, whatever. He knows that we're different, you know, so he'll always say, you know, oh, I'm the only one that doesn't have a television, which is not even true, you know, whatever, you know, I'm the only, you know, whatever. He'll play the card. He has a Nintendo Switch. He has, you know, whatever, you know, he has those things, but he, you know, he'll play the card. He feels there's a sense of being different. And he really, you know, it's all really about having friends. And he feels like, I mean, it really is Baruch Hashem, you know, this year there are a nice group of boys in the grade. And this year he's, you know, socially, he's been doing very, very well. And, you know, it just, again, like where we put ourselves in a real bind. I don't, you know, the thought of him going to Kohelet, you know, through high, I mean, it's I can't even begin to, you know, to imagine it. I think that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, there would be a certain degree of this feeling that like, okay, we're doing something that now I'm on the right, I'm serving in concert with my parents, but it would be such a hard thing. And the issue is that Rachel, you know, my wife, and we don't have a place here in Philadelphia. We don't have a place here because, you know, your friends are where your kid goes to school. So our kid goes to Kohelet. You know, we don't, it's not really our kafra. You know, so we don't really have a home here, which is something that impacts him also, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if we go to, I can't see us staying here. But going to Eretz Yisrael is such a, you know, it would really be like a, it's like we're hoping for a nace, I think, you know, yeah. for Hashem, which maybe he'll give us. I don't know for things to work out, but it's, I don't know, it's a very tough situation.
Aside from Moshe, do you see the other kids being affected? Moshe's your child. Moshe is the Ben Yachid over here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And have you or your wife maintained any contacts with the previous Gila?
Is
your wife still teaching there? Or going back to therapy there?
Allentown?
Yeah.
She's going back to do therapy there.
Well, she doesn't, I mean, she doesn't have to go back. She's, you know, she can just tell her now, but yeah, it's there. Yeah.
I agree that going to Eretz Yisrael in this situation is scary. Because to go with a child who's not well settled, I think is scary.
Right.
The other...
Right.
In terms, Moshe's going into eighth grade now, or he's in.
No, no. So he'll be He's in fifth, and he's going. Okay. He'll be going to sixth.
And there was an understanding that when you took on the school that your children would go through elementary, but after it was up to you. Was that?
Rachel, I haven't broached the topic that mm-hmm. I mean, probably like this. That like Rachel does not want to live here in Philadelphia. She just, this is not, we don't have like, it's not our home here, you know? And it's, you know, that's like the real driving force, I think, you know, if we want to be happy, you know, she doesn't want to really be here. We haven't really broached the topic with Kohelet to send him to the other school. Uh-huh. You know, Rachel thinks that it's like not even a starter, like there's no way they're going to ever allow that. But I think also it's that, you know, she feels like then we're stuck here in Philadelphia, which is also not what do we have to do with Philadelphia? And the reason that I feel like we want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that I want to go to Eretz Yisrael, is because for my wife to feel like we're living something which is, you know, which is a dream, that she's feeling like we stand for something, we're doing something, you know, that we're passionate about.
Right.
As opposed to like living like momish, like a bidyeved, you know, every single morning to wake up and feel like, you know, it's like you're living a bidyeved. You know, that would be the only.
Only what?
That would be the only reason to go is this feel that we're living something that's passionate, right? Mm-hmm. And that our son will slowly, you know, pick that up, you know, that we're living something that's like really, that's. You know, that we're passionate about, as opposed to like a bit, you know, a bit of it, and that he feels different from us, and you know, that kind of a thing.
So, what are the options? Are you in Bala Cynwyd or in the Northeast?
We're in Bala Cynwyd.
And in terms of friends that haven't struck up friendships?
No, so he has. So, Baruch Hashem, like,
no, I'm talking your wife.
Oh, my wife, no. I mean, she has like a couple of friends.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously COVID mess, you know, it puts ISIS things anyway, you know, whatever. Right. But it's just that we're not part, like the TA community. It's like that would be our community. You know, that's what we're friends. Yeah. I mean, you know, we sort of felt like, you know, as the rabbi in Allentown, we were different. Okay, sure. You know, and like our kid knew that we were different and okay, fine. But it's a whole different story over here. Not being the rabbi and the principal of the school doesn't, you know, we're, you know, our son doesn't see that we're different, you know, in the sense that like,
really?
Right. In the sense that he's like in Allentown, he was different, right. He was a rabbi's son. Right. You know, here it's that, you know, I want to be like my parents, you know, I mean, he'll say those things. He doesn't mean it deep down, but you know, those things might, you know, come across, but, I know there's no real good answer.
And in terms of looking around for other positions in the metropolitan area, anything in the hopper?
Right. So here's where we, so again, like, I don't know if we're being, I guess like Rachel. I mean, we really do want to like. We've been in Allentown, we're in Philadelphia. Now we're going to move to somewhere else in the metropolitan area. Like, where are it's like we have no home. We don't have any, like, Eretz Yisrael would be a home, right? Mm-hmm. That's you know, there's nothing for moving to New York. So who are we? I don't know. It's just, you know, Eretz Yisrael is that's we'd have a home there. And
would you go to Beit Shemesh? Yerushalayim?
That's probably Beit Shemesh, from Beit Shemesh, you know, probably that's where we're leaning towards. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, like, we should be looking at positions, other positions in New York, probably also. Yeah.
The thing, what?
you know, I just say thank you for listening. I know there's nothing, you know, particular to be able to say. I just. You know, to like let it out is something that's very it's very helpful right now.
I guess there are two things to think about. One is keeping your eyes open for other positions, right?
Right.
And the other is in terms of Moshe. So he distinguishes between a seatbelt. And I'm trying to think of the muscle. He sees himself as being happy in Kohelet.
Yeah, because socially he's happy, so he's happy. The school itself, you know, he doesn't love school.
Right.
No, and the school itself is a little bit interesting in terms of its model, whatever. So he's not like, he doesn't love it in terms of the school, but socially, you know, he finally feels like he's found his spot.
And your wife does get satisfaction from her work back in Allentown?
Barely.
I
mean, she does, but it's not like it's... Again, she's sort of given up her, you know, she's not doing anything terrible. Like, she gave up her career to be a Rebbetzin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she has, it's not like she has a private practice where she doesn't take insurance and charges whatever she charges. No, yeah. She has, like, it's a very simple, you know, thing that she has. You know, she's really given up her career for the, you know, for the Rebbetzin, you know, whatever, which she's really done. So the Sipuka Nefesh that she gets from her clients, she does. I mean, she certainly does, but it's not that this is, you know, her dream, you know, right now that she's living over here, for sure not.
But you don't have any career plan over there.
No, I don't have anything. I mean, there are certain things in education, you know, like educational consulting and things like that, that are a couple of possibilities that have come up. Nothing specific, you know. I mean, for the sake of, you know, of helping my family, I would do whatever would be necessary. I think 3 years ago I was very scared about it, and now I feel, I don't know why, I feel even though I don't have anything, like it'll be fine. Like in terms of my job, it'll be good. I don't know why I have this feeling, but I have that feeling. Maybe it's because I changed, you know, careers and I made it work, you know, with this, and I can do that again. You know, maybe that's why. You know, so, you know, Rachel could have a psychology practice there, you know, which, you know, which could be helpful. But I think a lot of us maybe is just coming to terms with what our lives are here in America. And we have to accept, you know, what we have in a certain sense. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that, yeah, I mean, keeping my eyes, obviously keep my eyes open for things, you know, here in America, and
I'm just wondering if anything's coming up over here. I think EULA for girls opened up its headmastership. And I seem to think that there is another one in Boston opened up, but all these are going to be sort of pounced upon by people who are have a resume which is much more to the left than yours. So it's not going to get a specific nefesh from that.
Right.
And if Moshe would be do you think that the school that Moshe's in has where is it in the structure range, more or less in middle of the road structure?
Right now, the Kohelet, the structure, yeah. Meaning what, in terms of just how
classrooms run and that kind of thing?
It's definitely more, it's definitely like sort of, meaning it's a little more progressive in the sense that, not that his teachers are like progressive. I mean, again, I hire the teachers, you know, so I mean, but it's in terms of, you know, there's a lot of it's on the computer, you know, during the day, you know, it's, you know, they have like a computer platform where they do their work, you know, that kind of a thing. There's a lot of independent work. They don't actually have tests that we have, sort of do, but not really. So it's not a classic. It's definitely not classic for sure. It's not classic at all. And we actually think that Moshe would probably be better in a structured environment where he has to study for tests and things like that. He probably would be better.
You probably will have options to transfer Moshe. Because I think it won't be hard to make a case, but you're looking for the right fit. So I'd be very surprised if that's if they don't go along with it.
Right.
But it doesn't deal with the, and friendships, I'm surprised that I thought that in Ballaglini you would find, you know, like-minded people. And
no, there are. It's just that it's the other, no women go to shul here.
So because of COVID.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like the women who are like the more, there's like Lord Marian Synagogue, which is like the modern Orthodox, right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine, whatever. You know, and then there's Young Israel, which is more, you know, more to the right. So right. They more to the right. The women don't, I mean, some go to shul. It's not like you go to shul for the social experience, right? That's not it. You know, it's school. It's really, it's all about school, you know? So there are people here for sure, you know, that we would feel very close with. You know, and my wife does to a certain extent, but it's just we don't, like, our kids go to the school. You know, it's just we're not, you know, we're just not in it. Which that's what makes it hard. Makes it harder. But yeah, if Moshe, listen, and the truth is that, I mean, there's another boy in Moshe's class. Who's the like one of the like really popular boys? It was a good boy, whose mother. I mean, it's a little ironic, but you know, his mother does not like Kohelet, and she's told me that she's pulling her kid out and sending him to the more from school, even though they're more to the left. It's like so interesting.
But then it will be safer in the from school.
What was that?
They think it'll be safer for the children in the. Is it a safety issue, a COVID issue?
Oh no! They hate the Kohelet, the progressive model. They just think that learning is just bad. Like their kids don't really, they don't learn as well. There's not, they don't like the whole spiel, which I hear. So their son, who's in Moshe's class, who Moshe feels very close to. I mean, pretty close to, is going to the other school. So that could be like a perfect, you know, like a perfect situation.
Right.
You know, I haven't mustered the courage. I think, I don't know, Rachel thinks it's like a no brainer. They'll never allow it, especially because the other boy's going. It'll look even more horrible, you know, if our son also goes. I don't know, but maybe I should revisit that idea and try that one out. Maybe
that's in the very short run. In the longer run, you talk about getting the resume out and see what else is up there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's in the short run, right? In the longer run, we have to see what positions are available.
Right. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. If Moshe would switch the other school, I mean, it's more for him, you know, whatever. I could see ourselves staying here for longer, but I just don't, yeah. But, okay.
So then... Let me just give an ish to the grin and see.
Yeah. On another note, we're going through another cycle.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Baruch Hashem. When is that starting?
So on Monday is the transfer.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Wow.
So if you can have us in mind,
that was for sure, for sure.
Okay, thank you very much for all your help with everything.
I'm sorry, nothing to say.
No, it's just but it's just hearing, you know, the way that the way you have nothing to say is itself good to hear, and but just also to be able to let it out a little bit is also because I wake up every single morning. There is depression, you know. There's a certain depression that I feel, you know, like with my son going to the school. Like, what am I living for? You know, just like this.
Right.
You know, it's really, it's like, I don't even know how. So, but yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, I'll be in touch with any new,
updates. Things go well, and then things turn around in all the different areas.
Yeah. Okay, Rebbe, thank you so much.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have nothing to say.
No. Not at all. Okay.
Thank you, Rebbe Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Mazel tov.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Rebbe, thank you so much.